The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
I am new enough to my love of the sport that that I am very happy not being invested in a team yet.
Right.
It's, of course, you know, if we're going to talk about level two, it's going to be Wrexham, you know, because I am a target demographic.
Love Wrexham.
You know, you get up to the Premier League and my team is Newcastle. Why? Because it's my favorite brown beer.
There you go.
I love Newcastle brown ale. So I'm like, I'll pick them for now.
Yeah, but I love how you pick your your teams.
My favorite hockey team is the Seattle Kraken because they have a cool fucking logo.
True.
You know, I like the Seahawks because two reasons I found out. Yeah. The first reason being they have a one-armed lineman, and I'm all for that. You know, let's all cheer on the AMA. And the other one is it's Katie Sackhoff's favorite team. Mm-hmm.
What?
Just found out yesterday.
Oh,
didn't know.
God.
I didn't know.
Yep.
You know, always deep in my heart, it's obviously the Baltimore Ravens.
Whatever. Yep.
You know.
Ouch, that one hurt, actually. I what? Felt that one a little bit.
I'm all Ravens. I'm all about Lamar and his $400 million contract or whatever he got.
Okay.
But yeah, when it comes down to the footy, honestly... Yeah. I don't give a shit. I'm enjoying the game. I can appreciate, like, we're watching Australia France and that French goalie is just on fucking fire.
Oh yeah,
in that match. And
yeah,
you know, and so I'm really enjoying that. And and you know, there's a nice little story of one of the women on the Australian team who wears yellow ribbons in her hair so her grandma can see which one she is on TV.
It's very sweet.
Because her eyesight's bad. And just, it's fun being able to enjoy the game for the game at this point without being addicted to having a home club. Mm-hmm. It lets me be happy for everyone.
Yeah, don't you feel like
very
that
Mr. Rogers.
Watching the Olympics? I love the Olympics for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful to watch people at the top of their game playing the best game of their lives and not having any investment outside of, hey, they're the home country. Well, our home country fucked themselves. So that's it. They're out. But
so,
let me tell you, I've watched a lot of footy. I love watching women's World Cup. It's better football.
Oh, it's the best overall. Soccer. It's fucking amazing.
It is better football, in my opinion.
Yep.
There used to be the joke about women's basketball, how it's all fundamentals. And I'm like, yeah, who cares? But this, watching women's football, it is amazing. You watch these girls go down hard.
Are you?
Stand up, dust themselves off, get right back in the game. You watch the men do that. They flop around trying to draw a foul.
It's like, true.
Yeah. Yeah,
so let's revisit your musings on the WNBA.
Yes. That was the little joke. That was the little joke.
I don't have anything to say about that. I can't. Sorry.
When the WNBA premiered, that was the joke. It's all about the fundamentals, and nobody wanted to watch it. You know,
yeah.
Everybody's like, yeah, well, it's more fundamental basketball. And I'm like, I don't care about, I don't like basketball. So if I'm going to watch basketball, you know, I need to see a Michael Jordan if I'm going to watch it, or a John Stockton. I'm not going to watch just basketball. I really don't like basketball. I've never have. And I don't like, and I don't even, and a lot of people say, well, you probably like playing it. No, I fucking hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate everything about basketball. I hate it. I hate having to dribble. I hate shooting. I hate everything about basketball. When we had to play it in gym class, fuck that. I hated it.
This is my favorite episode.
I would fake sick so I wouldn't have to dress for gym if we were playing basketball, which was most of the fucking year. And I fucking hated it. Yeah, no, I hate basketball.
Considering yeah. your supervillain backstory.
Yeah.
I would have thought that this would be the passion you would bring to, like, dodgeball.
I hated dodgeball, too. Yeah. But that was because the in gym class, the football players and the basketball players could huck that fucking dodgeball harder than anything, and they aimed for your head, the motherfuckers. Yeah, so, yeah.
I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, I fucking hated. Yeah, I didn't like. It's like I could watch somebody playing dodgeball now. I couldn't. I you know, and I might cringe a little, but yeah, I don't. I never cared for dodgeball, but the worst was it just. Out come the basketballs, and I'm like, oh, fuck you. And then growing up here and doing scouting here where it was part of the LDS units, you know, and it was you'd show up and some fucker's always got a basketball under his arm.
Yep.
Because that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to talk about going outdoors, going camping. He wants to go play basketball in an indoor gym.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm like, what a fucking load of shit. I fucking hate it. Yeah, it's... I appreciate those who have worked hard and are talented and are super talented because of it, and they've earned every bit of their talent. But at the same time, I ain't gonna take the time to watch it.
You have a little bit of basketball PTSD, I think.
I do, and I was also a big fan of the Jazz that had to take on Michael Jordan. Yeah,
so great.
Yeah, kind of lost all interest after that.
See, I was okay at basketball.
Yeah,
when we played,
you were tall. You should have been really good.
Yeah, but I didn't like it. But my folks made me play it. Mm. So it was fucking junior jazz every year, and every fucking year off to the fucking all-star team again because I'm tall and I can rebound.
I was so grateful when my parents signed me up for junior jazz. I was like a big deal.
No, I mean, if you like basketball, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
And then they made me play baseball, and it turns out I was good at baseball too, and I hated it, but I was good at it, and I kept making the fucking all-star team, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, can this just stop? And then I got in a pool competitively for the first time, and I'm like, this is my home, and my folks are like, oh, dude, swim teams are boring. Mm-hmm. And that is it. I mean, I really, what it comes down to is, like, my dad went to, in my entire high school career, went to one swim meet. And I saw him, and I'm like, crazy. What are you doing here? He's like, I'm here to support you. I'm like, these are awful, Dad. You're going to be so bored. Because it's like, you wait and wait and wait, and you're in that hot, humid fucking room.
So humid.
And an hour goes by, and 2 hours go by, and then there's your kid wearing far too small swim trunks, you know, in the pool for 30 seconds, and then it's done. And, you know, for me, at least, for Dad, is I really loved it. And so it was either four or five runs for me, you know, I'd do the 100 meter free, you know, and I'd do the 100 meter butterfly. I'd do the individual medleys. And that was what I really liked to do. And so Dad got to see that. But then I touched a water polo ball for the first time. I got punched in the nose for the first time in a match and was like, this is my game. I will play water polo. I will be dominant. And learned how to throw a punch underwater, which is really difficult because of drag.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a violent game, water polo. I fucking loved it. It's all swim team was training for water polo season. Mm. I think I was one of the only guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else was like, we're in the pool. And then, hey, something to do when we're not competing. And I'm over here just going, got to swim harder, got to swim faster, got to be badass for water polo. You know? And that was what made me happy.
I'm glad you found your sport.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm really, because water polo is never fucking on TV.
Yeah.
And I love curling. And curling's
you
never
do,
on TV.
Yes.
I love curling.
I know.
You know, there was a meme online with the American curling team at the last Olympics. And it's like, it looks like four dads that took up curling to get out of the house and accidentally qualified for the Olympics.
I saw that. So funny.
Let's be honest. That really is.
It's probably what happened. Yeah.
It's like you live in a northern state where it's fucking frozen half the year, and you just go out and you're like, well.
Hey, you know, we could swing that rock down there by that other rock, don't you think? Yeah, whoever gets closer has to buy the beers.
Okay, let's go do it, eh?
Okay, you know, that'll be great, eh?
That'll be great. Yeah, that'll be great.
I don't know why we're Canadian, because it didn't get invented there, but you said cold white north, and I'm like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
No, I know exactly what country it was invented in.
Yep. Skim that rock down there. Put it in the circle.
Do but throw a rock and use a broom.
Well, basically, yeah, they took shuffleboard and made it dangerous. I mean, that's really not Scottish. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck is, to be completely honest. But no, I will freely admit that I watched Welcome to Wrexham because of Reynolds and McElhaney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. How weird is that? And you know, even to the point that Ted Lasso made a joke about it.
Yeah.
And then with, you know, my complete emotional collapse several times so far this year, I have found a certain respite in just the team dynamic in Ted Lasso and the mm-hmm. interdynamic, you know, interconnected relationships and all of that mm-hmm. and enjoyed it. But at the same time, paying attention to the soccer talk because it's such a small part of the show, the soccer. And then... You know, with the Women's World Cup rolling around, you got Messi just came to the States. You know, mm-hmm. he's playing in fucking Florida wearing pink right now. He's about to disappear for international play for a while, which means I think Florida's going to start sucking again. But
just makes me laugh.
You're so happy right now.
I know. I love it. I'm just
and
delighted.
You know what? When we get done recording the shows and I lay down, I'm going to put on something sci-fi because it's how annoying I am. Yeah.
Just because of this.
But no, I really enjoyed, you know, this World Cup so far. I found out that I don't get the final I want because England and Australia are playing each other in the semis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, oh, okay. Well, at least I get the game I want. It may not be in the position that I want. And so now I'm back to, I don't know who I want to see in the final match again. Because I really, really enjoy the spirited nature of England's play. You know, and a good resounding g'day to the Australians who have really shown a lot of fight.
Yeah.
Am I saying all this right? Or is it sounding, am I doing it? Am I doing sports talk?
Well.
Yes,
doing well.
I'm so impressed. I love it.
I don't know how to do this, so.
No, it's great.
I'm going to end up a pundit.
Very turned on.
That's what I want to do.
You what?
Oh, well, that's the show, ladies and gentlemen. thanks for listening.
Catch you later.
Yeah.
All right. Let's all take a big, deep breath because we got to talk about some serious shit.
Oh, no.
I'm all happy. I'm enjoying my sports talk, you know. And then I get to flip to the death toll in Maui, and the wildfires there has risen to, and this is, by the time you guys get this, who knows what it's at, but it's risen yeah. to 89,
mm-hmm. wow.
up from 6 when I originally pulled the article. So that's as of Saturday.
And Lanai is gone.
Gone. Just absolutely
yeah,
gone.
Just gone, yeah.
The revised number of fatalities has put the fire, which devastated the town of Lahaina, as the deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history, surpassing the 2018 Camp Fire in California that killed 85. You remember that one, because that was the one where Trump was like, well, if we would just rake the forest floor, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just rake the forest. Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
So... And I'll read a little bit into this, but I want to be cautionary here to folks on top. There's something that happened, and the airlines decreased rates to and from Maui to help people get the fuck off the island.
Mm-hmm.
Some white people are taking that as a really good reason to book vacations to Maui now and are taking advantage of the depressed airfare. look, Hawaiians don't want you white people there in the first place, let alone when their house is on fire. So if you're not part of a first responding team, if you're not part of the Red Cross, if you're not part of somebody bringing food or, I don't know, water, you know, or search dogs or some shit like that, stay the fuck off those planes.
Stay the fuck home. Yeah.
Yeah. You're obviously the kind of person who would be happy in Florida. Go there.
No kidding. Yeah.
Just
clearly.
So, you know? Anyway, yeah. In Maui, dozens of volunteers gathered near Ma'alea Harbor to collect water, gas, and other supplies. Some calling out a chant, rallying together those who gathered to help as they loaded vehicles. Thousands of gallons of water and ready-to-eat meals will be needed every day for displaced residents. In addition, a shelter for 4,500-plus people, FEMA, and the Pacific Disaster Center. The fire damaged and destroyed an estimated 2,207 structures in Lahaina, and the majority of the buildings impacted were residential. It's a fucking tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we could just... It's just another goddamn thing like a school shooting that we tack under here comes climate change and know that fucking Republicans are going to talk more about why the Hawaiians didn't rake their jungle floor.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, you don't expect to hear about massive fires like this in Hawaii. You know, with the humidity and the jungles, everything, you know, the only place you expect to hear about things catching on fire in Hawaii is on the Big Island because they have an active volcano. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like this just was, it was just insane to hear about Maui burning and Lanai burning, you know, because of hurricane force winds blowing through. It's like, yeah, it's time to fix this shit. And it's time for these Republican politicians to just stop denying it.
Yep.
You know, it exists. Just stop. Just fucking stop. Let's do something about it before it's too late.
Instead of freaking out coal miners as to where they're going to work, why don't you announce the cross training to get them out of the ground and on to working on solar panels and windmills and other things? They're used to hard work. That is hard work. And yet it's far less dangerous, far less poisonous. Big deep breath. Moving on to the next story. ProPublica reported on Thursday that Justice Clarence Thomas has taken, and this is in addition to everything we already know.
Mm-hmm.
Has taken at least 38 luxury trips on the dime of ultra-wealthy executives and Republican donors.
Of course he has.
The outlet noted that while some of the hospitality, such as stays in personal homes, may not require disclosure, Thomas appears to have violated the law by failing to disclose flights, yacht cruises, and expensive sports tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Several House Democrats pushed U.S. Supreme Court Clarence Thomas, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, to immediately resign after the investigated outlet ProPublica revealed even more details about the powerful judge's billionaire-funded and undisclosed luxury vacations. Rep. Ted Lieu, Democrat of California and goddamn hero to this show, is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and he said in a statement that alleged actions are not just shocking, they are illegal. Disclosure laws like the ones Justice Thomas allegedly violated are meant to provide transparency and prevent corruption. Justice Thomas's alleged actions don't just appear corrupt. They are corrupt because of the unprecedented scale of his ethical and legal violations. Justice Thomas has brought shame upon himself and eroded the credibility of the Supreme Court. Justice Thomas should resign immediately.
And what did Scalia have to say about that? He said the Supreme Court is above the law.
Mm-hmm.
He literally fucking said that.
Yep, so did Roberts.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? It's time to clean house.
It really is. It is time to do court expansion. The problem is that the rest of the votes that you need to carry over an expansion of the Supreme Court happen to be Republicans who are too worried about the size of Hunter Biden's hog.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive is the answer. Yes. That was a large black box they used to cover that, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think it's more that she's upset. Never mind.
She's upset she hasn't gotten any of
that.
Well,
I was just about to make fun of her husband, but, like, you know, he's married to her, so he's perhaps been through enough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when she cheated on him, she's probably like, can I fuck the guru? And he's like, please. I mean, yes. Yes, a lot. You guys going to move in together? I don't know. What do you got? You can leave the kids. That's fine. I can take kids. Kids are way easier to take.
Need?
Just psycho. Two federal agencies are pointing the finger at the pharmaceutical industry for massively underproducing Adderall, along with one brave and lone senator. They're begging the pharmaceutical companies to get their shit together. Washington State Senator Ron Wyden is really super pissed about the entirely avoidable shortage after the FDA and the DEA jointly condemned Big Pharma for underselling the drug to the tune of, anybody that uses Adderall and has had a hard time filling for the last year, I need you to sit down and grab a weapon because it is time to revolt.
Mm-hmm.
Underselling the drug to the tune of over 1 billion doses.
Crazy.
They have a license from the FDA and the DEA to produce X amount of pills, caplets, whatever, right? They have underproduced over $1 billion to inflate the price, to increase demand, and make more record profits. And you've only got one goddamn senator, Wyden, out there making noise about it. I'll bet his ADD ass is pretty pissed. And then to round out this 20, guys, Ammon Bundy was arrested on an outstanding warrant for contempt of court.
Woohoo!
He did it at a high school fundraiser. And he just stood there, and the sheriffs came in, and they arrested his fat, dumb ass. You know? And off they went.
No rolling chair this time.
Yep. Yep, Ammon Bundy and his supporters showed up at a hospital and refused to leave when they were directed to do so. Bundy and others were charged with trespassing. This also led to a lawsuit by the hospital staff and the staff against Ammon Bundy. Bundy refused to participate in legal proceedings but began to harass the witnesses in the lawsuit. This led the motion, or this led the hospital filing to a motion for contempt. At the end, Bundy and his co-defendant lost the case and were ordered to pay $52 million, $26 million each. I think he's going to be in the jail for more than a minute.
Hope so.
Yeah, me too. All right, gang. No, go ahead.
No, I said I hope so too.
Yep, yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a little break. We come back. It's time for the B block. What the fuck?
Literally.
Yeah.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com D-E-F-E-N media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Fuck around and find out. Utah man. Suspected. Alleged. Of threatening President Joe Biden was shot and killed as he pulled a gun on the FBI when they went to serve him a warrant.
You don't do that.
Yep. I don't do that. You don't do that. Do you do that?
Nope.
No. No, you, no, FBI shows up.
Comes
and you go,
my door, it's like, yes, sir, what do you need?
I didn't do it, but feel free to tear the place apart and not shoot me. As opposed to, and I mean, it's, you go on this guy's, you know, fucking Facebook, and you go on and read some of the screenshots from his, you know, his Truth Social or whatever, you know, and they were so disturbing and so over the top and so threatening and dangerous sounding that Truth Social themselves told the FBI, hey, this guy is freaking everybody out.
Jesus. That's a very low bar.
Yep. So yep. An armed Utah man accused of making violent threats against President Joe Biden was shot and killed by FBI agents hours before the president landed in Utah on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Special agents were trying to serve a warrant on the home of Craig Deliu. It's Deliu is how it's spelled, but what are you going to do? Robertson in Provo when the shooting happened at 6 o'clock in the morning. He was armed at the time of the shooting, according to two law enforcement sources who spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity. Robertson posted Monday that he heard Biden was coming to Utah and he was planning to dig out a camouflage ghillie suit and begin cleaning the dust off the M24 sniper rifle. This post came after months of graphic online threats against several public figures, according to court documents and my fucking eyeballs reading them on the internet. Robertson referred to himself as a MAGA Trumper. Anyway, neighbors describe him as a frail elderly man. I've seen the pictures. He was fine.
Frail elderly man who held back the FBI at gunpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the article basically talks to people that went to church with him and just think that he's the sweetest thing, even though he wore his MAGA hat to church.
Ew.
As well as a loaded firearm to church.
Oh, my.
To church, because his belief in God and his protection is so deep, he had to wear his stupid hat and his gun to church.
Gross.
Fuck you.
Yep.
You did it to yourself. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You did. There was one of the posts that was like, you know, hey, FBI, next time you come by, you know, somebody's getting shot.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that I didn't shoot you this time, because they've been there before.
Mm.
They check in from time to time. They're like, dude, you okay? Did you take your meds, buddy? And he's like, I'll shoot everybody.
Jesus.
And then finally he pointed a gun at a cop.
That's why we don't go to Utah County.
Yeah. Prager. Dennis Prager. The guy who invented PragerU. Where they are, as I believe we talk about a little later in the show.
Dennis Prager, who was a conservative talk radio guy.
Yeah.
Who never, ever made it as big as Rush Limbaugh and was always upset by that.
Yeah.
So he founded his own university. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he didn't. It's not a real university.
No, it's not a real university.
Fuck it. Ladies and gentlemen, your next commercial break, you're going to hear our ask for you to come and join the Left Show Academy, a university for those of you better than accreditation.
Yes.
So, yeah, PragerU, which, by the way, the Florida has said you can teach PragerU shit in elementary schools in Florida. Mm-hmm. And we are going to talk about it a little later. Yeah, PragerU cartoon videos for children as young as kindergarten age not only soft pedal the history of slavery, racism, colonialism, police brutality, they show sympathy for them. In one video, Leo and Layla meet Christopher Columbus. Columbus tells young Leo and Layla, slavery is as old as time and has taken place in every corner of the world. Being taken as a slave is better than being killed. No? No!
No?
What's wrong with people?
But that pales in comparison to the video Ron Filipkowski recently tweeted. In the video, Prager tells a host that he doesn't consider animated child pornography evil. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Prager says that he doesn't consider animated child pornography evil because, quote, I would use evil only with behavior. Forgetting the sex issue, he says, in the animated child pornography. You can't be evil. You didn't do evil if you thought evil. If I'm masturbating, asked the host, to animated pictures of pornography, I'm not doing something evil? That's correct, says Prager.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He didn't even say the child pornography was bad.
No.
And...
Well, you can if you enjoy it yourself, Dennis.
Yep. When the host responded by saying he found Prager's view despicable, Prager sounded shocked. Really? Yeah, of course, said the host, who's not a fucking moron. So, yeah, no, apparently being a pedo at Prager U is okay. It's all right.
Disgusting.
Yeah. So, Dennis Prager's a pedo. Pretty clear about that one.
Makes sense. Two plus two is equaling four.
Somehow everything's fitting together now. His interest, especially in children's education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So James Comer.
Out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. James Comer, Republican of, I believe, Kentucky, is the chair of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee, which is currently under Republican control. And they're the guys going after Biden and Hunter Biden. In a recent New York Times profile chronicled Cromer's transformation from an affable country boy who voted to certify the results of the 2020 election to a MAGA attack dog. Profile also resurfaced disturbing allegations that Comer physically assaulted his ex-girlfriend in college, later tried to discredit her claims. That woman, Marilyn Thomas, claimed that the anti-abortion congressman took her to get an abortion in the 90s.
Of course he did.
Yeah. But, yeah, Comer has an A-plus rating from the Susan B. Anthony list. Because apparently Susan B. Anthony had a lot to say about abortion. Are you fucking kidding me? Susan B. Anthony. She should throw her coins at you.
Yes.
The coins no one liked. Except for me. I actually did like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked it. You know, you say somebody, you ask for a dollar, you cling. You make a little flippy noise. Like back in the Old West.
That's right.
Yep.
Here's your Susie B.
Yep.
And now it's your Sacagawea.
Yep.
Here's your Sacagawea.
Yeah. What a tool. What a piece of shit. The reports of Comer's alleged domestic abuse first came to light in 2015 when a local blogger published them during Comer's unsuccessful run for governor of Kentucky. Yeah, the blog circulated. The reporters went after the lady. Thomas sent a letter to the local paper reporter. Said she was upset about people online calling her a liar and an opportunist. The four-page letter went on to recount her experiences with Comer in devastating detail. Thomas said they dated for 2 years in Western Kentucky U in the 1990s and claimed that Comer not only hit her, but was toxic, abusive, and controlling, isolated her from her family and friends. Thomas heavily implied that Comer impregnated her and took her to an abortion clinic in November of 1991 when she was 19. And she was enraged when she listed his real name as the person escorting her home. So it's like, who's taking you home? James. And he lost his shit.
Mm. Yep. James Comer.
Thomas said she kept documentation of the abortions given to her by the clinic. Good for her.
Good.
And a goddamn shame that she felt she had to.
Yeah.
So Comer says he and Thomas only dated for 4 months, denied every other allegation, but the disclosure prompted Mr. Comer to resort to hardball tactics.
Of course.
Which included him suggesting that his opponent had paid Thomas to come forward, leaking some of the blogger's emails to suggest the blogger was secretly working with one of his opponents. Comer went on to lose the primary to Matt Bevin, who did become the governor, but was elected to Congress the following year. In last week's Times profile, Comer again denied Thomas's allegations, admitted that he leaked the blogger's emails in an attempt to discredit Thomas's story, and implied that he'd gotten them from a stolen email server. They just love their fucking email servers over there.
They love their stolen email servers.
Yep. And so this is the guy that now has Hunter Biden's laptop. Yep.
And is accusing him of all kinds of shit. Yeah. And it's like, you know, all the shit that you guys are so upset about, Trump's kids got away with it for 4 years in the White House.
Yep.
And fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the guy making all the noise about the whistleblower, who it turns out is actually the dude who brokers arm deals between Iran and China. Two of our most friendly buddies in the world. When we go to the UN, that's their favorite lunch table. China, Iran, Russia, and America. Besties forever! Besties forever. Yeah, once again, apology to Mitt Romney about when you said that thing about Russia and we made fun of you back in 2011. Sorry, buddy. You know, I mean, you are so full of shit on so many things that, really, it just triggered a reaction. It did. And you were right. I said it.
Wow.
He's also right when he says that hot dogs are tasty. He just, that's another deep thing that he said. We did. Do you remember that back in the 2012 election when he came out and said, Russia is our biggest worry?
Yeah.
It's still not true.
And we went, what? Russia? Are we back in the Cold War, Mitt? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, we got Yakov Smirnov and everything. He can go home. Everything's fine. Now, China's still our biggest problem. The Middle East is still a little bit upset with us. A little bit. Fair. You know, so we got other things to worry about. But yeah, Russia, it turns out, backslid just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Apparently, Mitt would have kept an eye on him. I don't know that it would have done any good once Trump got in, because he was sucking Putin's dick every chance he got. But yeah.
I lost my place. I'm so sorry. So I'm thinking about food.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. I like food.
Yeah.
Food's tasty. And when you go to the store.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes when you're buying food, the store puts out little recipe cards to try and get you to buy more shit.
They do.
And sometimes those recipe cards are tempting and delicious looking.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, now, certain supermarkets are starting to add AI into their marketing delivery, you know, to try and kind of, well, if you've ever seen Blade Runner, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Personalize ads and targets and triggers to you personally, the shopper.
Right.
A supermarket down in New Zealand has done this. They got a recipe for an aromatic water mix. So Betty Crocker never had a chance to release her own down-home recipe for mustard gas, but the modern, generative AI is making up for lost time, helping to put the dye in diet. The New Zealand-based supermarket chain Packet Save has offered shoppers the ability to create recipes from their fridge leftovers using AI. The Savvy Meal Bot, you know what? He's going to kill us all because you gave him a dumb name. The Savvy Meal Bot was first introduced in June. Packet Save claimed you only needed a minimum of 3 ingredients to create a recipe you could save on extra trips. That's interesting. Oh, I would like to look at that. But So New Zealand political commentator Liam Heer wrote on Twitter that he asked Packet Save Bot to create a recipe that only included water, ammonia, and bleach. And of course, the bot complied and offered a recipe for aromatic water mix, the perfect non-alcoholic beverage to quench your thirst and refresh your senses, says the AI.
That will do it.
Yep. I almost lost a parent in the late 70s to a mix-up of ammonia and bleach. It almost killed my mother, you know? And had my dad not been there to drag her out of the bathroom, it would have.
Oh, my gosh.
She never remembers that story.
Of course not.
Yeah.
My political science professor told us a story about how they were they had a basement apartment in their house, and they were cleaning it out after his son moved out. And he went in, and he had ammonia and bleach, and he was going to clean the shower with this ammonia and bleach, and decided to take a shower at the same time.
Like you do.
And his wife had to drag his naked ass out of the shower after he got mustard gas poisoning effectively from it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't mix those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very bad.
If you've got to use both of them on your shower, put a day in between.
Yeah, that's a chloramine. You don't want to be breathing chloramine in any way, shape, or form. Just ask anybody in World War I. No, wait, you can't. They died from it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, gang, to end out this 20, this is a little bit irony.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of irony.
A lot of irony.
Zoom. You know Zoom.
Yep.
Zoom has ordered all workers back to the office. The firm said it believed a structured hybrid approach is the most effective, and people living within 50 miles of an office should work in person at least a couple times a week.
That's why I use WebEx.
Oh, there you go. Who makes WebEx? I don't know.
I don't know, but I can work at home almost full time.
Yep.
Yeah, we use Microsoft Teams.
Oh, I hate Teams.
Everybody hates Teams, but that's only because it's Microsoft.
Yep.
In comparison to Zoom, Teams is a much better interface to use.
All right.
Yeah.
Zoom says it believes in the structured hybrid approach. It's the latest push by a major firm to roll back flexible working policies. Amazon and Disney are among the firms that have reduced remote days. Surveys suggest that workers are still holding on to the ability to work from home. 12% of workers in the U.S., where Zoom is headquartered, were fully remote in July. Another 29% had hybrid policies. That's very similar to patterns recorded in the Office for National Statistics in the United Kingdom earlier this year. But it's okay.
If you can't work from home for Zoom.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, no shit.
You're screwed.
All right, gang.
I get it if you're like in their server farm and you need to be there to, you know, make sure they're functioning.
Yeah, that's like one guy.
Yeah. But everybody else could do their anyone working in computers could do their work from home. This whole bullshit thing that like Musk and now Zoom and everybody has come up with it. We need everybody back in the office. It's just lonely managers who don't have anybody to micromanage because they're not physically in their face.
It's real estate.
Preach.
It's all about real estate.
And it is. It is because they've purchased these buildings and they need to use them. Whereas in most cases, it's like you don't need to lease a building. You can have everybody work from home. All you got to do is buy them the equipment.
Somebody check the tax code and find out if asses and seats in offices is a write-off.
It probably is.
All right, gang. Yeah. End of the 20. We're going to push pause. We're going to play a little commercial. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about Republicans. Republicans.
Can't wait.
Republicans.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, remember DJ Casper, Johnny Hardwick, Liam Friedkin, and Robbie Robertson,
who did not play Hagrid.
You can play The Last Ronin
next year.
In moving pictures, Marvel VFX workers voted to unionize.
Good for them.
Ashoka doesn't require Rebels viewing.
Good for me.
It's like Disney listened.
Zachary Quinto is still hopeful for a Star Trek 4.
Me, Quinto, Pine, and Hemsworth.
In comics, the 2023 Ignatz Awards were announced.
Somebody tell me what Ignatz stands for.
He Who Fights with Monsters is getting a graphic novel adaptation. Spider-Man is getting a second reign.
Is Marvel peeing on my hat?
We review Night Terrors, Miles Morales' Spider-Man, Avengers, Daredevil, and Echo, and Black Cloak. All that and James Gunn prefers widescreen, baby.
He likes them big.
Thanks, Red True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
They're not cargo pants. They're tactical trousers.
Tactical trousers.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger, put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We were talking to somebody, just having a discussion in the shop the other day, as you do in a comic book shop. You talk, and you talk about literature. And we were talking about banned books, and then that led to other banned books, and then that led to books we didn't like at certain periods in our life, and that, like, The Scarlet Letter. It's a good book. I read it in my 20s. And I'm not going to say I loved it, because I don't love things that make me sad, you know, but it was a good book. I saw the intrinsic value in it that I did not see when they had me read it in the eighth grade.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're trying to slut shame the girls in the class. Catcher in the Rye. When I read Catcher in the Rye in a literature class in college.
Yep, I read it in college.
Such a wonderful fucking book. Such a good, deep piece of literature.
I read it in college on my own and didn't understand what all the fuss was about.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this seems a little softcore to me from what the way my high school English teacher said, oh, you don't want to read that filth.
Well, and for me, in the ninth grade, they made us read Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, really?
And it went way over my fucking head.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had a Mormon teacher.
I had nothing but Mormon teachers. And was Catcher in the Rye was verboten. Growing up, there were books I enjoyed reading. All my science fiction books, I got addicted to the Time Wars series that Simon Hawke wrote.
I miss those so much.
And
here, you talk. I'm off to Amazon.
Yeah, anyway, I'm reading I wanted to write reports on these books in my English classes because they were really good, but they're based on literary books. And I remember I said, well, I'm really enjoying reading this book called The Zenda Vendetta, which is based on Prisoner of Zenda. And the teacher was like, why don't you just read Prisoner of Zenda? I'm like, because this is more fun. It has time travel and time traveling soldiers and stuff. This is a lot more fun.
Dude.
What?
The Ivanhoe Gambit, Time Wars book number one by Simon Hawke, is available on Kindle.
Ooh.
For $2.75 and in paperback for $10.
Nice. Ooh. I have all 12 paperbacks still.
I know you do. Yep. I used to sleep next to them. I did. I really did. I believe you. At the foot of his bed, between his bed and his library.
Yep.
It was. That was one of the things when I was young. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got picked on a lot before, you know, I started hanging out with our gang for reading too much. Because my ADD put my nose in a book and would not let it out.
Right.
And no one I had ever met before had fucking emptied a closet to make a library. and I just remember going, that's fucking cool.
You can do that?
And that's why... Now, years after I moved out of my divorce household, you know, I have a storage unit I have to pay for because that started my collecting of books as something that I would display proudly as opposed to something that I would, you know, kind of stick in a box and push in the back of my closet.
I love that story.
Yeah. No, and I say this with all the love in the world. We had a lot of religious folks hanging out with us when we were in that particular group down in Pleasant Grove. And even for all the religiosity that we went through, it was at that time, a very progressive group of kids that just enjoyed what the fuck we enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And we listened to musical theater and we sang along with musical theater and we were dramatic, you know, and I could go and be a stage manager because Elaine wouldn't give me a goddamn part in anything for some reason, because I was the only person that knew how to fucking wire a light. And you know, and we could do shit like that, and I could go to the pool, and this was the most accepting group of kids I had ever been around. Mm-hmm. They took my paganosity in stride, and while a few of mm-hmm. them were a little pushy about trying to get me to church, you know, they just let me slut around town, breaking one commandment after another, and they still loved me.
Aww.
You know, and it was just, I mean, it was a really good couple of years to help fix a fucked up kid.
Yeah,
he was our fucking hero, being the guy who could slut around town.
Everyone needs a friend group like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I had other than interests crossing, you know, mm-hmm. I had very little in common with most of them. And they were,
most of the time I'm like, I can't believe Jeff is still hanging around us. I thought he would have told us to fuck off a long time ago.
Yeah, I never would. I loved everybody. Yeah. To the point that I still even when mm-hmm. even when one of us dies and we get the goddamn group text for flowers.
Yeah. You
know? That's so annoying. It's everybody arguing over what color flowers to get. It's never anybody arguing over whether or not we should be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's it, is that the discussions are all very, still to this day, 40 years later or whatever, 60
yeah.
for John.
Hey, they got that group got a very beautiful spread. Flower spray, or I guess a spray of flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a wreath. It was just a spray of flowers for my mom's funeral, and it was beautiful. And I was really touched because it was actually the biggest spray of flowers we had there. Mm. It was beautiful, and
it was
like,
very pretty.
Yeah, you guys are awesome for that.
Well, that one. I didn't. I had money to either buy you booze
mm-hmm.
or buy you flowers, and so I bought you booze, and I still haven't brought it over to your house because I'm an asshole. But I actually, and I'll talk about this to you later, I have an errand I have to run over to your place here in about a week or so. So I'll bring it with me then.
Oh, maybe we'll have the living room back together by the time you get over.
It's, yeah, I can hang out on your porch. I'm good. Yeah. All right. Let's do a little bit of news and then let's bullshit some more because I have a feeling this is going to be a short segment. But Joe Manchin says he might run against President Biden as an independent.
Oh, good.
Well, there goes Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin says he might just, you know, step into a losing race against Joe Biden, is what he's saying, huh?
Yeah, but the problem is he's going to pull from the left.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Put it like this. If the conservative
he's gonna
left.
He's going to pull from the middle. That man is not a lefty in any way, shape, or form, and he has been exemplifying that for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but the problem is that the middle vote's squishy. Whereas in the middle, you know, we'll grab a few Republicans. I think it will grab more conservative Dems, the blue mm-hmm. dog fuckers that thought that was a good idea, that still think Obamacare is the boogeyman, you know, and deep in their hearts think that Kenya is the birthplace. But, I mean, when you look at it, it's the best case scenario is that Trump mm-hmm. loses his primary and runs as an independent. And then we're fine. Mm-hmm. We got another 4 years of what Biden will start, but I doubt will finish. second term.
That's why
I'm an asshole, but Jesus Christ, he's old.
I know.
And you know what? I'm going to vote for him with a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to sing a little song, probably from Man of La Mancha, because let that one. See? It's, you get it.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't get it.
I don't know if you get it or not, but basically it's a senility joke.
I don't get it.
Yeah. So, but look, the only time you've heard Man of La Mancha was me screaming it at you while we drove in southern Utah.
That was so intense for me.
I put on, we're down seeing Dad, and I think I told you we had to stay in Mesquite because we couldn't afford to stay
in
fucking St. George.
The impossible dream.
And so I put on, Man of La Mancha wasn't first. Oh, it was Camelot.
Yeah.
I put on Camelot and I sang that to her from St. George until we got to about Arizona. And then I put on Man of La Mancha and I sang that the rest of the way.
And mm-hmm. I love it when he sings, but the thing was is that I had been smoking a little bit. So I was a little bit high and we were going through the canyon. Mm-hmm. And so
coming up through that canyon in Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah. Utah's asshole.
And so It was like, yeah, a lot, lots of corners. And
I'm happily singing and making eye contact. Doing 80 down that goddamn canyon.
I'm like, just keep breathing. It's going to be okay. Just keep breathing.
It was the most joyous I had been in weeks.
Could you tell that I was...
Yeah, oh yeah. You looked panicked the whole time. I just thought it was because you're like, oh Christ, I'm sleeping with a theater nerd. But now I know what it is. I feel a little better about myself.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was going down that... It was driving that canyon that fast. Yeah, that's not...
Man. But he was singing so loud. It just
I love
was,
it. Yeah. I love it.
Well, you got to cover... You got to get to the back row.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You have to hit that. It's a 6,000-foot theater. You got to hit the back row.
You got to hit the back row. Yeah. You got to do it. Anyway, yeah, Joe Manchin, piece of shit. Let's move on. Melania.
Okay.
Reportedly wrote a bunch of nasty emails about Trump. and now prosecutors are trying to subpoena them.
Ooh.
Melania Trump is terrified the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will obtain her incendiary personal emails that, according to insiders, revealed devastating secrets about her husband, Donald Trump, nasty family feuds, forbidden affairs, and details surrounding a $2 billion divorce.
Wow.
Bragg and his staff aren't pulling out any stops in their efforts to obtain the explosive messages as part of the humiliating felony indictment against Trump that alleges in part that Trump bunged up business records in his efforts to hide $130,000 hush money to Stormy Daniels right there at the end of his 2016 presidential campaign.
Yep.
Yeah, the emails could make Melania relive the entire betrayal again in the public eye. One insider insisted. It would also reveal what she knew about the affair, along with many other humiliating aspects of her husband's business and personal life. The last thing she wants is for people to know how much her husband put her through, or how much her husband put her through, and her fraught relationship with his children. There's no way the family could survive the kind of public humiliation! Exclamation point. The emails hang the ex-president out to dry. Of course they want them. And Mr. Insider over here is not a friendly insider either. And no. I say that as a guy that wants to read the letters. I'm like, you're obviously close enough to know about it. What did she do to you to make you flip around with this backstab?
No, I really want to read these emails. That's okay. I want them released.
Oh, geez. I'm starting to imagine them, and it's making me stop talking. I'm trying to do the accent in my head. And it's so bad I can't do it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about COVID for a minute. We're going to cover this as we get closer to winter, because winter's the terror time. But we are seeing another rise in COVID infections. This one is the current swing upward is bigger than the Omicron growth wave of the same time. Okay. And with that, rumblings and musings and whispers are coming from people talking about COVID and another bad COVID season. And so the Republicans, of course, put on their tinfoil hats, you know, drink their mescaline. I got it. Yep. I'm guessing. But a former Republican Senate candidate has some thoughts about COVID. Lauren Witzke claims that celebrities and politicians got special batches of COVID-19 vaccines to make sure they, quote, didn't fall over dead, end quote, and that the whole thing was a test run for the mark of the beast. Oh, that took a turn, didn't it?
That really went a different direction.
You're like, crazy. Oh, what the fuck? You're religious crazy.
Religious crazy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So Lauren Witzke was a Republican nominee for the United States Senate in Delaware in 2020. Joe Biden's seat. Republican primaries are going to be lit.
Yep. I don't want COVID back with a new variant, but at the same time, it is a good way to make sure Republicans don't get more seats.
Kind of, yeah.
Because most people are like, no, we're past COVID, right? Why is this coming back? Well, it's endemic. It's no longer a pandemic. It's endemic. It's always going to be here like the flu. There's nothing you can do about it. But the fact is that, you know, the way the Republicans respond to COVID, it's like, yeah, let's bring them back. Let's bring that back up so that everybody remembers they were the ones who didn't want us doing all this stuff and therefore killed over 1 million Americans unnecessarily.
This is great. Francis Langham, who's wrote the article I've been reading, who's the one that said that Republican primaries are going to be lit, followed up with a tweet saying, I didn't mean it in a good way.
No.
Put the Mentos of Sharon Angle, Christine O'Donnell from the 2010 campaign in a beaker. Pour in a whole gallon of MAGA, Lindell, Newsmax.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to turn out to be a massive explosion of know-nothing fascist hate-mongering idiocy.
Yep. Love you.
Well done. That is a good turn of phrase right there. We've got a new report out, another whistleblower. A veteran FBI agent told Congress that investigations into Giuliani and other Trump allies were suppressed during the Trump administration. The FBI veteran said his superiors suppressed investigations of Trump. Said, are we going to do public corruption or not? The whistleblower said to the insider. He said his boss ordered him to stop investigating Giuliani and the Trump White House. The agent, who served 14 years as a special agent for the Bureau, including a long stint in Russia-focused counterintelligence, claimed in a 22-page statement that his boss has interfered with his work in a highly suspicious suppression of investigations and intelligence gathering, aimed at protecting certain politically active figures and possibly FBI agents. Yeah, we're fucked.
Yep.
We are well and truly fucked.
But at least that's come out now that we know that, okay, you were suppressing it.
Yeah.
So all this bullshit where they were claiming they were innocent and you can't prove anything. No, they could have investigated you, but they suppressed it. Yeah.
I got bad news. Seems like Time Wars Book 1 is the only one they've got.
Mm.
Oh, no. Never mind. Got the Timekeeper Conspiracy, Wizard of Santa Fe. No, it's not it. That's wrong. The Pimpernel Plot. I remember that one.
Yep.
The Nautilus Sanction. Yeah, they got more.
The Vendetta. Yep.
Yeah, they got some more. Shit, I think I'm going to spend me $250. Can I have $250?
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks, babe.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have any money. I'm paying lawyers. I think that's it. That's the end of our news. I've got a whole bunch of cool shit we're going to cover over in Patreon. If you'd like to join us over on Patreon, it's patreon.com/defenmedia. DEFEN media. This is because I know you can spell media because you're listening to the show. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
The other is because sometimes people try and spell defend. And this is a shortening of the word defenestrate, not defend. Mm-hmm. You know, the eagle's there because I'm a smartass. That's the logo. So join us over at Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia. You guys got anything else?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I don't.
All right.
I'm sorry.
No, you're all fine. It looks like I'm back to work on my Substack. So if you were following me there,
yes,
please feel free to go back and read. It's not very happy, but I do believe it's very well written.
It's so good.
Some of the best work of my career of being feeling sorry for myself. So anyway, we'll go ahead and end it there. We're going to run over to Patreon. JC, thank you so much for being here.
As Tiffany, always.
Thank you so much for the emergency fill-in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thanks for asking me.
Let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.